Welcome to AMDA on the Hill, your opportunity to keep up with the latest policy and advocacy news from the Society for Post-Acute and Long-Term Care Medicine. AMDA on the Hill is produced in association with AMDA on the Go and available on the same podcast channel. Support for this podcast is brought to you by U.S. Post-Acute Care. And now here is your host for AMDA on the Hill, Alex Bardock.
Hello and welcome to AMDA on the Hill, your periodic update on AMDA's public policy and advocacy activities. My name is Alex Bardock and I'm the Director of Policy and Advocacy here at AMDA. As usual, just wanted to provide you an update on AMDA's policy and advocacy activities over the last few weeks. First, I want to start out by congratulating Dr. David Nace, AMDA's current president, for being accepted to serve on the Nursing Home Quality and Safety Commission. You may recall I discussed this commission last month when it was announced. The commission is said to be put together to address issues around COVID-19, both current and moving forward. And of course, we could think of nobody better than Dr. David Nace to represent the society and to represent the voice of post-acute and long-term care clinicians on this commission. We hope that the work of the commission will be productive. And we hope that to have a major input into the work that goes on. We will provide you updates as we move along in terms of where this commission is going. It's quite unclear at this moment what they will focus on exactly, but hopefully, like I said, we will have some tangible outcomes from that. Moving on to some other issues that we have been dealing with. Of course, the number one issue right now is the country begins to slowly reopen, or in some cases maybe even fast reopen quite broadly. The focus is how do we deal with that in the nursing facility setting? And of course, there's been availability of testing has been much improved. The availability of PPE, however, we still hear that there are issues around that. And so we're hoping to address state by state and on the federal level a lot of these different issues. With that said, we have formed a task force of sorts of all the AMDA representatives that are serving on the various COVID-19 task forces, either within their state task force or even local, or in any kind of leadership role. It is now a group of more than 30 people that has come together to put together a public policy playbook. To discuss issues around testing, what are the best practices, how are we going about testing, what is the messaging to the residents and patients and families of what the testing results may mean, how do we communicate all of that. Same goes for issues around PPE and where to obtain it, how to sustain this long term, and how to grapple with the issues that we continue to deal with. The playbook also will focus on how to work with the media in your local markets. We know that the media has been very interested in what has happened in nursing homes. Of course, there's been, as I've mentioned before, the good, bad, and the ugly of it. Obviously, everybody realizes that majority of the deaths that are occurring due to COVID-19 are in nursing homes. In Marion hard-hit areas, upwards of 70% to 80%. And so the attention has been much greater on what's going on in nursing homes, both from the administration, from Congress, and on the state and local level. We have had many of calls with state representatives, with congressional representatives, speaking to what we need to be doing as the country reopens, and where do we go from here. And much of it has been explaining how the workflow of the nursing facility environment can be different from that of the hospital, even that of the community, and how we fit into the entire picture. So we continue to address this. We continue to issue guidelines around all of this. I think one of the more interesting questions that has come up is visitation, of course. As the country reopens, there's more and more pressure to discuss when families will be able to visit their loved ones. And, in the past, we have, of course, urged a very cautious approach to this, as has CMS. But I think as people are seeing sort of restaurants and other things open and other issues around the country take shape, people are really wondering, when is it going to be safe? Are there safe approaches to doing that? One of the task force that I mentioned, and on various calls, we have heard different chains, nursing home chains, different localities trying different things, trying innovative things, such as using roofs or outside venues to facilitate this sort of visitation. And it may be that your facility or you are thinking about a creative way of doing that. Because we know that isolation is also a huge factor in what's going on. So we do want to make sure that we're sort of balancing this whole issue of protecting against a very deadly virus and at the same time ensuring that the isolation that people are dealing with now over several months does not have a very negative impact, which you potentially could have. We have hosted a number of webinars on these issues. We have what we're calling grand rounds every Thursday evening, and actually one coming up will be around the reopening issue. If you've missed it, you could certainly view the recordings of any of these grand rounds, and I would encourage you to do so. We have also addressed the issue of switching gears a little bit, addressed the issue of liability. We have heard concerns about from nursing facilities and practitioners about lawsuits that may occur due to responses to COVID-19. We had held a roundtable discussion on this issue around liability and what you may be doing to facilitate risk management, really, and what you need to do if there are these lawsuits, how to communicate with families, what to say, what to do, what to make sure that you have in your documentation in order to have yourself covered. We, of course, also are working with a large coalition in Congress to deal with the issue of liability and protections for nursing facilities and practitioners that work in those facilities. Obviously a complicated issue, but one we are hoping to solve as we move along. The other question I have gotten a lot is around telehealth. I've addressed very early on the numerous waivers that went into effect that allow practitioners to utilize telehealth in much, much more broad terms than they had been in the past. We're hearing that in different parts of the country, they're just growing exponentially, the number of telehealth visits. And of course, the question becomes, number one, when would potentially these sorts of waivers expire? Number two, could we have some of these waivers remain as a permanent staple in the way we do provide healthcare? So the answer to number one is the telehealth waivers will stay in place as long as there is a public health emergency declared. So all those 1135 waivers will remain in place until we hear otherwise that there is no public health emergency. And speculating here, but it's not likely to be lifted anytime soon, considering there are states with growing numbers of COVID infections, and we are still unsure how reopening is going to have an impact on where we end up. So all of those waivers I would expect to remain in place for the time being, but at the same time, I think we are not complacent, and what we're working on is to address the sort of permanent changes, such as the once-a-month restriction. We don't want to go back to a situation where we go back to a once-a-month restriction, for example, in subsequent care visits. The Trump administration has talked about asking folks what of these waivers should remain permanent. AMDA has been responding and has been talking to CMS and others to keep some of these waivers in place because we do think there is significant evidence that it improves care and improves response time at a time when it is necessary and potentially, hopefully not, but potentially when there is a surge or a second wave that may be coming in the fall. So those are all the issues that we have continued to address around COVID. We are also working on other things. We continue to work with congressional folks on the issue of antipsychotic use. There have been hearings around this issue, we continue to address the quality measure and ensure that there is appropriate use of antipsychotics, but that the quality measure that's tied to it is also, has the appropriate parameters for the use of antipsychotics. This is an issue, of course, that had begun much before COVID, we're keeping our eye on things that are not COVID-related as well. As always, if you have any questions, please email me, please email AMDA. We are happy to answer them. We are here to help you. And as always, we're hoping that you are staying safe and that you are staying healthy. Hopefully that is true for your residents and families as well. Again, thank you very much for all you're doing through these tough times, and we will continue to update you as necessary. Thank you very much.
Delivering true excellence in post-acute medicine requires more investment, resources, and infrastructure than ever before. U.S. Post-Acute Care, a physician-led practice group, has built a business model dedicated to providing high-quality post-acute patient care on a national scale. We make it easy and beneficial for regional practices to leverage our resources to drive the growth and quality of their practices. Visit our website at uspostacutecare.com to see for yourself. Together, we'll be stronger. References from this podcast can be found at paltc.org/policy.